Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Finn Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
Well, we are back on the Andy Finn Show. And I want to talk about North Korea, one of the axes of evil, according to the president. Of course, the president's a little more scared of the world than I like my president to be. I'd like a guy a little more on an even keel that doesn't think the sky is falling every time the sky starts falling, that can handle a little bit of danger. You know, an Austin Powers kind of character or something. But in any case, there is quite a bit of news about North Korea. It is in the news. To begin with, on Saturday, the UN Security Council voted unanimously to condemn North Korea and impose stiff sanctions in response to this nuclear test they had last week. Now, let's go a little bit further and say that the U.S. did finally confirm today that the test that North Korea set off, which is a week ago now, it seems, was in fact a nuclear device. There was some chance that it was non-nuclear, I suppose. But we confirmed that, and we immediately after the test in North Korea, we tried to get Russia and China and the rest of the Security Council to agree to a resolution. China and Russia resisted because they thought that we might use the wording of these this resolution to take offensive action against North Korea, like if there's a blockade that we would assume we could seize ships. And so they wanted some of those things ironed out. And so while that was being done, the U.S. is trying to formulate its policy. And it turns out that we were able to convince the Chinese and the Russians and all of the Security Council to impose sanctions. Now, let me back up a little bit and talk about this. A lot of people are confused about China's position in all of this. People are saying, well, why wouldn't China give us what we want here? They must know that Kim Jong-il is a lunatic and that he can't be trusted and that you don't want him on your border with a nuclear weapon. They can't possibly want a nuclear-armed North Korea. Well, the short answer is true. They don't want a nuclear-armed North Korea, but there's more going on here. First of all, we tend to see things only through our eyes. The rest of the world sees things through their eyes. And in the rest of the world, China and any other country you care to name, one sentiment that prevails in a huge number of countries around the world is that the U.S. is too powerful. That as the world's only hyperpower, we have too much clout. And so a lot of countries, even some of our allies, would like to see it reduced. Certainly our adversaries, if not enemies, like China, would like to see us tied down in different places. So that if we're tied down in Iraq, that's less freedom we have to move elsewhere. And if we're worried about North Korea and Iran, then from China's point of view, the U.S. is occupied and it can do some of the things it wants to do maybe in Southeast Asia. So there's that to begin with. China probably isn't that concerned that we think we got a big problem in North Korea. Now, it still probably doesn't want Kim Jong-il to have nukes, but B, they're probably not buying the logic that he's deranged. You know, everybody keeps saying this. I hear Bill O'Reilly, I say everybody, we're not talking, what's the right phrase? We are not talking reputable foreign policy pundits. Bill O'Reilly's a guy that dabbles in politics and foreign policy and domestic policy. You know, if you think about this, watch the various TV shows. You know, somebody like Chris Matthews does Hardball for an hour, and they never pull him off to cover missing white women or fires or whatever, right? But all these other guys, O'Reilly is mostly in this light fare, and occasionally he delves into foreign policy or domestic policy and holds forth as though he has some expertise, you know. But the kind of thing that O'Reilly was saying was the Chinese should be made to do this and the Chinese should want to do this. Well, no, the Chinese don't particularly necessarily want to rein in North Korea if North Korea is causing us trouble. There's another angle here, and that is that China has the potential of a million refugees on its border if and when North Korea implodes. You know, we may not be as lucky with North Korea as we were in South Africa, where there was a peaceful transition from white minority rule to black majority rule without a lot of bloodshed, without any bloodshed, really. And their Truth and Reconciliation Commission was a model for the world. We aren't going to get that lucky in every country. And North Korea is the kind of situation with, you know, more than a million men under arms, 10,000 or however many tanks they've got, now a few nukes, and ready to go to war at the drop of a hat, they make it sound. Right? They're, you always see their troops goose-stepping in these parades. They're ready to fight is the verdict, the word they give you. Now, of course, because the whole country's so poor, it may very well be that that's a hollow shell of an army at one level. That is when they're, you know, put up for pound for pound against well-armed, well-trained American troops that they wouldn't do that well. On the other hand, they're near their home, and they're so close to South Korea, we can't take the chance. That's the dilemma for the United States, and it has been all along. So whether they have nukes or not, we can't afford to attack North Korea in the hopes of diminishing their power or getting rid of their nukes or something, because they pour over the border into South Korea before we know it, and before we can do anything to stop them, they're attacking Seoul with everything they got. A lot of bloodshed, a lot of death. We could win eventually, but even if we weren't tied down in Iraq, this is not a good bet. And the South Koreans don't want it. You know, we keep saying, oh, if only the South Koreans had a spine. Why don't we stop for a minute and ask ourselves, whose self-interest, who's going to have the most at stake here in terms of self-interest? It's South Korea. So for us to dismiss them, and again, I'm talking about pundits who think we ought to get tough with North Korea and the South just needs to have a stiff upper lip about it. These folks just don't understand geopolitics. Right? You don't just roll the dice and decide we're going to take out North Korea's missiles on their launching pad and assume they won't launch a counterattack against South Korea in retaliation or something. So the problem China sees is that if and when North Korea collapses, they have this whole mess to deal with. What do you do with this failed state? And what do you do with the million refugees that would come China's way? But there's another more fundamental problem for them. If the North did collapse, you could expect within a certain amount of time to see reunification with the South. Much the way Germany reunified, South Korea would have to pay a lot to help the North along, and the North would still be impoverished relative to the South for many decades. The North Korea is in much worse shape relative to South Korea than East Germany was in 1989-1991 relative to West Germany. So the North is a problem for a couple of reasons, but if it fell, the one thing that China doesn't want to see is reunification, because, you know, the history of Japan, Korea, and China is largely warfare and crossing across the Korean Peninsula to attack in China or Japan. And so the Koreans have been used as a doormat by both China and Japan over the centuries, and they're probably pretty tired of that. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but China certainly wouldn't want a stronger South Korea, another democracy there with the U.S. protection, or even on their own. So China would like to prop up the North Korean regime as long as they can. They do not want it rejoined with the South. Another angle on this is the Japanese you know, one school of thought says the way the U.S. can get China to take action is to threaten them with a nuclear-armed Japan and a nuclear-armed South Korea and say, look, they don't want to have nukes, but if North Korea has nukes, one or both of them are going to go after nukes to balance the power. So you have a choice to make. You can be the only kid on the block with nukes, except for Russia to your north and west and India to your south and west. Or we can allow another country or two that you consider adversaries to have nuclear weapons. Which will it be? China. And I think China might see the merit in that. They probably already do. Now, the a Japanese politician, I forget if he's in the ruling party or the opposition, came out and said that Japan should look into having nukes. Now, that's a pretty traumatic step for the Japanese. They may or may not be ready for it. But anybody that follows this knows that the Japanese swore off nuclear weapons after we dropped the big one twice on them. And it's a moral issue with Japan. They are aware and have come to grips with their belligerent past during World War II to a better extent than, for example, Germany came to grips with it, their violent past. And Japan basically doesn't trust itself with a large standing army and weapons and nuclear weapons. Or at least they're just not willing to invest a lot of money in those because they might use them someday. You know, that is the problem with weapons. You make weapons, you're tempted to use them someday. I believe that's what happens with the U.S. You know, we could, though, arm Japan or South Korea if we want it. So we have that angle with China. But, you know, China is going to play this slow. From their point of view, North Korea is not really a threat. I don't believe they think he's a madman, and I don't either. And I don't think they believe that Kim Jong-il would launch a strike against South Korea or stupidly launch, if he had a missile that could do it, a nuclear weapon in our direction. He's not going to set off a nuke. He just wants to have nukes. I'll be shocked if North Korea sets off a nuke in my lifetime. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be working on nonproliferation and trying to get rid of them. But from China's point of view, this is a guy with a few nukes. And the country with, well, like we may be down to 10,000 nukes now. We were at 22 at one point. We've gotten rid of a lot. Let's say we're below 10,000. We're going to get to 7,000 soon. Let's say we're at 7,000. We'll cut out 3,000 or more. We got 7,000, and China sees us worried about this country, you know, X thousand miles away, that has 8 nuclear weapons, maybe. And they're going to be small ones, too. And they're not sure about their technology, et cetera, et cetera. Well, China probably finds that pretty amusing, that we see this as this huge issue that's going to cause trouble for us. The other thing to keep in mind is that when it comes to nuclear weapons, the U.S. record is not stellar on using them as a threat. Now, not only are we the only country that ever dropped the bomb, and we did it twice at the end of World War II, but we've threatened to a number of times. I've always believed that although President Eisenhower's reputation has gone up in recent years, during his era, both Truman right before him and then he threatened to the Soviets and threatened others with nuclear weapons. Now, if you're going to threaten somebody with nuclear weapons, can you understand why if they don't want to be threatened again, they'll go out and get their own nukes? So what we used to do was threaten to use nuclear weapons during the Korean War. Now, it's the equivalent today of saying simply, we'll keep all our options on the table. But when Truman was asked in 1950 whether he would use the atomic bomb when the war was going badly in Korea, he just said, quote, that includes every weapon we have, meaning he was willing to include every weapon he had in his arsenal. Now, he never used it, but he's had to hold open the option. And Eisenhower basically said that he would consider using nuclear weapons if North Korea didn't negotiate in good faith towards ending the Korean War. And in 57, we put missiles in South Korea with nuclear weapons on them. Okay. Now, we maintained hundreds of weapons with nuclear capabilities in South Korea. We started removing them in the late 70s, after Vietnam, and during the Carter administration, we started yanking some of those missiles out of South Korea, and we finished it in 1991. We continued it through the Reagan years and finished it in 1991 during Bush 41. So we need to remember that when it was convenient, we were willing to rattle our saber and tell countries, hey, if you don't do what we say, we're going to nuke you. Well, think about why we want the missile defense shield. We don't want to be blackmailed. What does that mean? Well, if we want to force North Korea to do something, we don't want them to be able to, quote, blackmail us. And what that means is we don't want them to say, well, we could fire a nuclear missile at one of your cities, too. Now, I don't think they could hit an American city these days. We've talked about that before. But there are people out there claiming that maybe they could, like Fox News, showing us graphics of them hitting Kansas City and Chicago. But just because they can't reach it doesn't mean they don't want nuclear weapons for a particular reason. So that North Koreans may have got tired of the threats and decided decades ago, we're going after nuclear weapons, and when we're a member of the nuclear club, they'll stop threatening us. Because we never threatened the Soviet Union, well, not after the 50s, and claimed we would bomb them. That would have been madness, right? Mutually assured destruction. So instead, we go after the smaller countries and warn them they can't have weapons. Well, that's the way it always works. President Bush has come out and said that he can't let this stand, that there's no way that we are going to allow South Korea, North Korea, to have nukes. And yet, we've known they've had them for a while. Now they've tested one. I don't know what the president means when he says that we can't allow them to have nukes. Maybe we'll find out by next week. In any case, The Andy Finn Show will be back next week, and I'll see you on Monday night at 10 p.m. again. You can listen to archives of my shows and other segments on andyfinn.us. That's andyfinn.us. Until next week, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.